Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome to Tomahawked. I am just hyped off my dick. My name is Rob Fox. I'm joined by Dan Holloway. What an exciting division race we have going on.
Yeah, it's like the Mets gonna Met, you know what I mean? Lose two out of three to the fucking Pirates while your rival is playing. You know, the Giants are out of the playoff race, but they still had both of their, you know, studs in the rotation in this series.
Yeah.
You know, the Braves lost two of three, and the Mets had a chance to put some space between them, and they did not do it.
Nope. They sure didn't.
That's good for us.
Although the Braves, I got to say, kind of wish they had gained a little more ground. Still a half game out. Mm. You would think a game after tonight, but God knows what the Mets are going to do.
Yeah, who the fuck knows, man? I mean, I think this is their makeup game against
Pittsburgh
from last week, which is good for us because it steals one of their off days, which, you know, maybe doesn't sound like much, but it is... You know, one more thing in our favor here. And yeah, they've lost to Pittsburgh recently, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him lose again.
I know. I'm a little torn because I have Carrasco going tonight in my fantasy baseball playoffs, because I was just looking up and down and I was like, I don't want to like have like conflicting rooting interests, but like on paper versus the Pirates seems pretty solid.
You would think so.
So I had to go with that. But man, so the Braves are 6-4 in the last 10. The Mets are 4-6. Not much separation. Either team could have, 6-4. The Mets should have been much better than 4-6. So, I mean, you know, the Mets should theoretically be probably like a game and a half to two and a half games up. Mm-hmm. You would think that. And so they shouldn't be very happy. Although on the other hand, I really don't think the Braves have taken full advantage of the Mets sort of slapdickery.
No, I mean, they've been kind of dicking around lately, to be honest.
They've been pretty ice cold.
Yeah, offensively, yeah. But, you know, that's why I'm not too concerned, because that never lasts very long with the Braves. There's no question about the hitting talent in their lineup. They're going against Suarez and Nola the next two nights, or on Friday and Saturday. Those are good pitchers.
Yeah.
And it's in Philly. It's at home.
Yeah, so, much needed home series. Yeah,
finally.
After the fucking, maybe I'm just like biased or just kind of have blinders on for my team, but I feel like every time I hear the words West Coast road trip, I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot out of you. And I think that has something to do with why they've been, why there's been a bit of an offensive, regression there. But against a team like Philly, Philly's got a couple of good pitchers, but typically these games we score a lot of runs, and so do they. You know,
hopefully you put the ball in play against a defense like this.
Yeah,
who I'd have to check most recently, but they have cut back on their errors a lot as compared to the beginning of the year. But they still have a problem of not being able to touch the baseball necessarily when it gets put in play, because it's not exactly, I don't know, great range anywhere on the infield or outfield.
Well, let's see, the Phillies are fielding percentage wise not too bad, actually. They've got they're tied for the second best fielding percentage of baseball. But their problem isn't necessarily just errors.
Yeah.
Right? It's they don't get to a lot of the balls they should. So for example, potential or putouts rather. The Braves, in the same amount of innings, obviously, I mean, there might be some small adjustment for extra inning games or something like that, but more or less the same number of innings, the Braves have like 100 more putouts, which means they're getting to more balls.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's, and considering how many people the Braves strike out as well.
Yeah, so the Braves are, I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago, at or near the top of the league leader in strikeouts or strikeout percentage. So that there's still that many more putouts.
Seriously, that's a red flag for your defense. That means for sure they're just not getting to stuff.
Yeah.
So, you want to put the ball in play. Yeah, the Braves are about 9 strikeouts ahead of the Mets right now.
First. They haven't employed them all year necessarily, but I mean, when you have Scherzer and DeGrom on your team, you're going to be racking up a lot of fucking strikeouts.
Sure should think so.
One thing that's been was real a real disappointment over the last week when it was, I think, a day the Braves could have picked up a game was that I'm finding this is such a weird game to bitch about, right? So the Braves score 5 in the ninth to come back and take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, the fact that they had to score 5 in the ninth to take a one-run lead tells you that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be bitching about that game that much. Because, I mean, that's a miracle comeback.
I mean, I guess, but...
But, man...
When you get that kind of incredible output, you want to take advantage of it. And people have been talking a lot about it the last couple of days. It isn't just us bitching about it. It's like... I've seen quite a few.
It's become a semi-national story.
I've seen quite a few people saying Kenley Jansen doesn't belong. Like he, so, he's. I haven't looked at it in the last couple of days. I don't know if he's saved a game since then, but it was 82.5% save percentage. Mm-hmm. Like that's not good enough for a championship team, man.
Yeah,
it's just not.
I think. Fuck! I just clicked on the wrong game. He has not, I believe, had a save opportunity since then.
Well, let's see. He's got.
He did come in and pitch.
It's 82.5. He's saved 33 games and blown 7.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
It's not what you fucking want. No. Now, granted, we've said this many times. We definitely won the World Series last year with not the closer you would want.
Well, that's not true, though, because we had a committee of bullpen people, and you could use them in several different spots. Now, Will Smith performed better than expected. But if Will Smith hadn't performed well, it would not have been a big deal to move him out of that role and put somebody else in. I think now paying Kenley Jansen $16 million a year, I think the salary is the only reason he hasn't been moved out of that role, frankly, because Raisel Iglesias is a far better pitcher.
Oh, my God. Much better. So Jansen did pitch. It wasn't a save, but he pitched against the Giants in the game we won in that series. One inning. One hit, no walks, thank fucking God. Mm. Two strikeouts. I didn't watch that game, so I don't know if he was like, you know, getting to like 3-2 and then just getting this sort of like, because that's what he does even when he has a save, right?
Yep.
He'll get to like 3-2 and then strike the guy out, but he's just like on a fucking razor.
It's so irritating.
And he's usually, by the way, most bizarrely of all, ahead in the count a lot of times when he gives up these hits and walks.
Well, I feel like he gives up. He gets behind in the count a lot, but I feel like the hits he gives up are on like 0-1 or 0-2 and 1-2 pitches.
Yeah, and I'll give him a little bit of credit on the hits I've seen off him recently on blown saves. Not hard contact at all. So that sucks, and that's, you know, hit them where they ain't type of thing. Maybe give credit to the hitter, I guess you could say. But still, like. There's just been so much incompetence out of this guy that I'm terrified.
I'm looking at his splits right now. on 0-0 pitches, hitters are batting .476 against him for the season.
So when they swing first pitch?
When he throws a strike on the first pitch, 48% of the time it's a hit.
Well, that's weird that a flat fastball through the zone.
Yeah, no shit.
Would get hit for a .400 average.
Like if your primary weapon is the cutter and it doesn't work like 99% of the time, then you don't have a primary weapon.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't throw if one out of every four curveballs is laid flat in the zone, you wouldn't throw that pitch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just wouldn't throw it. You may use it as a show pitch out of the zone, like in the dirt.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't try to ever throw it for a fucking strike. Because that's one out of every four pitches is a fucking gopher ball. Why? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why
there's no sense to make, because we've talked about it. Do we talk about it on the show? We have talked about it with each other. Like, it doesn't look like he has a fucking plan up there.
No.
He's a thrower. He's not a pitcher.
Yeah, he just kind of hopes for the best. I mean, I would love to hear him talk about it. Like, what? Explain to me, Mr. Jansen, exactly what your game plan is when you go, like, are you looking at the book? Like, oh, this guy doesn't like pitches inside or outside, or he has trouble adjusting from high to low level. Or you're just throwing it and hoping it gets close to the zone and they don't hit it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the latter, to be honest.
And he has a, before we even get into his dumbass fucking delivery, he does have a sort of deceptive release, I guess you could say, or like a, maybe deception is the right word, unorthodox release. Yeah. And again, you know, pitching is all about throwing hitters off balance, whether it be timing or otherwise.
Sure, so. But, you know, the cutter and the sinker together is about tunneling. I believe we've talked about this on the show before. You see it a lot on social media and shit now, even on a lot of the broadcasts, where you see the identical release point and the ball travels about 45 feet and then breaks in separate directions, which makes it extremely difficult for the hitter. Like, instead of having at 60 feet, 6 inches, a 95 mile per hour fastball, I think you have 0.4 seconds to react and decide what to do. When that pitch looks identical, but the speed and trajectory change all of a sudden at 45 feet, now you're talking about less than a tenth of a second to make that decision. Very difficult to hit. You don't need all that extra bullshit. You don't need a funky fucking delivery when you throw mid-90s like that. You just don't, especially if it's cutters and sinkers that you're throwing. And tunneling also requires that the fucking hitter have a good idea of where the ball is coming from, because that's part of it. Like, you're establishing where the ball comes from,
yeah,
instead of them having to search for it up here.
What would you call that in the intelligence community, where you give them like enough information to let them make the wrong decision, kind of?
I mean, that's just propaganda, I guess.
Yeah.
But it really is what it is. Like, if you want somebody to, like in war specifically, if you want somebody if you're trying to bait them into a certain type of attack, obviously you expose yourself a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the point. But yeah, anyways, long story short, he's not good enough.
No, my
opinion.
I'd say he's absolutely fucking not. I want to say too, so he gave up. I'm looking at this last year, because it's like, well, maybe, you know, the postseason something will be better. I don't know. I think he pitched a clean inning in game one against the Braves in the NLCS. Game two, he let up the tying run, I think, right? He let up the...
You're talking about the playoffs?
Yeah,
during playoffs. The Braves series?
He let up a RBI or something to Rosario last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember what happened after that off the top of my head. They won game three, which he got the save in. Lost game four badly, so that didn't factor into that. Dodgers beat the shit out of us in game five. Fine, whatever. And then game six, he never had the chance. So game one and two, though, he factored into one of those decisions in terms of letting up a tying runs, I think. Jansen didn't get the loss.
Got a no decision.
Yeah, something like that. I'm trying to remember what he did.
It's a blown save. If it's after the seventh inning, I believe, and you give up the lead, I believe it counts as a blown save.
Yeah.
And if it's after the seventh, or if it's in the seventh or later and you hold, then it's a hold.
Okay.
So you should get a stat for both of those. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his, I just don't understand this idea that he's a closer and that's a hard and fast rule. Why, man? The job of the closer is to come in to high pressure situations and perform every single time and have your stuff every single time and not walk people, especially. And he does the opposite of that every single time. Even when it's a good outing for him, he probably is going to walk somebody.
It's never a clean inning.
Yeah, man, what the fuck? Like, and this guy does not belong in that position.
It's a really bizarre situation to me where, like, I'm not, like, married to numbers or anything like that, but you would think just in general, without even getting into numbers, that flexibility would be your best fucking friend in the bullpen, mm-hmm. right? You could put anybody anywhere, anytime. And yet most teams, even the really well teams, analytically, scouting, whatever, just any team with the brilliant front office, they still always have a hard ninth inning guy. Mm. And if they don't, they wish they had one. No, nobody wants to do a closer by committee.
I don't understand that, honestly. In this analytic age, it's all about fucking matchups, man. You know what I mean? Like, if you've got the ability to, like, a guy like AJ Mender is a good example. You can put him anywhere from the sixth through the ninth, and he's probably going to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He has bad runs every now and again, but it doesn't matter if the hitters are left or right-handed. He typically can handle them really well. Matzik is kind of the same, just because of the high level of velocity when he's on. It doesn't matter which side they're from. But some of these guys, like, you have so much flexibility with a guy like Colin McHugh,
mm-hmm.
who throws like a fucking 80 5 miles per hour or some shit, but the ball goes in every pot. Like, he's tunneling. Every pitch comes out of the same slot, including a slider, and they all go in different directions. Also good against... I think he's actually better against lefties than he is against righties, but the point is they have a ton of flexibility, and that has to be... You have to think of that as a weapon, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why, honestly, other than the fact that he's making a fuckload of money, I don't know why... I honestly don't get it. I don't understand why he's still in that position.
Yeah, and I've seen articles recently kind of being like, is Brian Snicker being too loyal with Kenley Jansen or whatever? Mm. I doubt he's fighting with the front office about it.
Well, the last 30 days, Jansen's 0-2 with a 6.52 ERA and 6 out of 9 saves. That's not good enough.
No.
That's less than 70% of the time he's getting the fucking job done in the last month. And that we're getting, it's these games matter now. You know what I mean? Like, we're in a playoff run, or in our pennant race, and the playoffs are coming soon. And he's out here saying shit like, I don't feel any pressure, whatever the fuck. You know, that's kind of been his the thing he said over the years. Like, yeah, I don't feel pressure when I go out there. Chill, well, maybe you should feel some fucking pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe you should let the pressure hit you a little bit and see if it makes you better, because right now you fucking suck.
Yeah, I mean, at least the pressure to not let down your teammates, yeah. Right? I mean, because that is such a brutal way to lose, mm-hmm. after a miracle comeback. And by the way, you got to think that maybe not a 5-run ninth inning, but like, you've got to think at some point in these playoffs, the Braves are going to pull off surprising late inning comeback.
They do it a lot.
And then Jansen's going to come in the ninth. And that's the type of thing where the whole season can get just ripped out. I mean, good Lord, that's basically how we beat the Dodgers last year.
And it's like, are the players on the Braves roster going to be happy that Kenley Jansen's coming in the ninth with a 1-run lead? Because I'm not going to be happy about that.
Yeah. And coming in the ninth with a 1-run lead and not even, basically not even giving them a chance to help him close the game, because these hitters aren't even earning their bases.
Yeah. No, as soon as he came into that game, the other day, I knew as soon as he came in, I'm like, yep, they're going to lose this fucking game. There was just something about it.
And what was it, a walk and a homer?
No, it was two home runs, back to back homers, one to tie it, one to win it.
Jesus Christ!
And they were both fucking crushed.
Yeah.
So it's like, can you afford to have a guy be your closer who sought like one out of every three starts for the last month? He just throws flat meatballs right down the goddamn middle, man. No,
and I mean, you know, our first round matchup, it would be against either the Cardinals, who I don't really want meatballs served up to Paul fucking Goldschmidt,
or Edmund, or Nolan Arenado. They're three of the top four people in wins above replacement this year.
Yeah.
They're the top three in the National League. The only person that's above any one of them is Mike Judge. Aaron Judge. I'm going to keep doing that forever.
Yeah. And then, maybe we don't win the division and we catch the Phillies in the wild card series.
And they're pretty good at working counts over there.
Pretty good at working counts.
Like, especially that fat bastard that leads off for them. What's his name?
Schwarber.
Yeah, Schwarber and Harper especially.
Yeah.
Can really work their way on base. And if you leave one out of the middle, they can also deposit that bitch in the stands.
That whole lineup is full of dudes. Well, Harper and Schwarber are just all around great hitters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no real flaw in their game as far as I'm concerned. Well, Schwarber speed, maybe. But even the other dudes, the lesser hitters, Castellanos, fucking Bohm, that big dumb idiot, all they have to do is put their big dumb bats on that flat, fast fastball, and the ball's going to just, like, go out with no problem.
Like, if the reality is, if that cutter isn't on and working properly, then it doesn't matter where he throws it. He can throw it over the out. He can paint the black with the outside or on the outside corner, but that ball doesn't move at all. And major league hitters, if all you're throwing is a straight ball and it's to one side or the other, they're going to hit it. Motherfucker, you're not tricking people like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw hard enough for that. He throws mid-90s, but everybody throws 100 now. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to look pretty juicy after a Spencer Strider
start. Yeah, no fucking shit.
You know what I mean? It's the type of thing now where, like, I don't wish injury on any player or anything, but, like, if I heard, you know, like,
did he got AIDS or something?
Yeah, he got a little arm trouble. He's don't know if he's going to be on the roster. I'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I would not be terribly upset about that.
The only other thing I think is, like, what do you do with him? Because I don't trust him anywhere. I don't want him coming in the six either.
No, honestly, I'm glad it's a one-year deal, and I really hope they don't re-sign him next year.
Well, they won't. That's why, I mean, Iglesias is there now. And honestly, they're paying Iglesias so much that... Yeah. And I keep, like, thinking more and more, like, LOL, we're totally going to sign DeGrom in the offseason.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
That would be
They've got the money to sign him and Swanson.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see both of those guys get signed.
The battery's printing money right now, so I hope they use it. But yeah, Braves idle tonight. The Mets games this Thursday night. We're recording it Friday, so I guess we'll have those results by the time you listen to it. But we'll see what happens. The Braves could be tied for first again, or they could be a full game out. Either way, not that big of a deal.
No.
Because we got three games with the Mets and all that shit. And, you know, we have a series with the Nats coming up as well. A little bit of sad, quick news. Ian Anderson's season just got a little bit worse. Suffers oblique strain, probably out for the season. I mean, he's in the minors. Minor season doesn't last long.
Yeah, it's second week of September. I think it's over. So
I don't know why
It might be over now, actually. Or if not, they got another week left. Yeah, it's... I mean... Who cares? He wasn't coming back up to the club anyway, so I'm not really... It sucks for him to be hurt and shit, but...
And I unlike Jansen, who frustrates me, and I really don't enjoy him, and I didn't enjoy him when he was a Dodger. You can look at my Twitter history. I have tweets bitching about, like, this delivery's bullshit. He's balking every time. It unnecessarily fucks with the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hate it. Now that he's on my team... You know, for
still,
a while.
I still hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. But Anderson, I really fucking like. He's been brilliant in two playoff games. Literally left his World Series start with a no-hitter.
Mm.
But, you know, it's just you can't be chasing no-hitters in the World Series. You got
to
just...
Yeah, you play to win the game. Somebody said that once. Yeah, I hate that delivery. It sucks. I think it's... it's
talking about Jansen.
Yeah, it's literally in the rule book that the pitcher is not supposed to be able to do anything to deceive the hitter, right, with their motion. Yeah. You can, with the ball, obviously, but with your motion, you're not allowed to deceive the hitter. That's why I think I hate Nestor Cortez. I hate him. I think it's a fucking just complete sham bullshit. Like, fuck you, man, with your stupid shit.
It's annoying as fuck. And there's other dudes who do it, who do something, like, weird, could be a balk if any other pitcher did it, shit that I don't care about because they're at least consistent, like Cueto.
Yeah, that's just a funky delivery. I mean, that's more like Louis Tiant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like Louis Tiant had problems fixating on the wrong spot on the catcher, so he just turned his back to him. That was for him to make sure, you know, that he was that the first thing he saw when he turned back around was the catcher's mitt.
Right.
Right. That was to make sure that all of his delivery, his energy was going towards it. That's not what Kenley Jansen's doing. It's damn sure not what Nestor Cortez is doing. He does that shit intentionally to try to fuck with the hitter.
It's insane. Like, yeah,
like he balks on almost every pitch.
Jansen at least says, like, oh, I have to do it. Like, I don't know what Cortez is
coming set, I understand. The thing he does, I mean, it's stupid, and I don't think that does anything. He just looks like an asshole. But I understand the coming set part. That's not a problem, because anything you do before you come set and the process of coming set, provided you don't stop in the middle of coming set to throw over or whatever the fuck, is fine. That's not a balk.
Yeah.
But once you just deliver to home plate, you know what I mean? It's a whole different fucking story.
And
I don't like it.
We've talked about this before, too, but obviously second base is free after he walks you because you can steal on him incredibly easily. But back to Anderson. I love Ian Anderson. I really hope he gets right. Like, I think he could be such a good option at, like, the 3-4-5 in the rotation.
Yeah.
One of the best until he got weird this year, one of the best changeups in baseball, just needs to work it out. And honestly, he got thrown into the fire a little quicker than we probably wanted to. He was a desperation call up in 2020 and pitched brilliantly. So, you know, it is what it is. He's still a young guy. I'm going to do Albie's last. I'm going to do Soroka real quick, too. And the other quick pitching news is Soroka probably not going to pitch in 2022 at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the arm strength is fine. The velocity's there. The movement's there. And he's, you know, he's had some good outings, some rough ones, but the endurance is not. Like, he's not, his pitch count has not increased.
Yeah.
In, like, 3 weeks of pitching. He's still at 75 pitches, so probably not going to see him, and that's fine. Like, we don't necessarily need him for this playoff run.
No.
And I'm much more concerned with him
for the next decade.
Like, on the team, yeah. Not too worried about that.
So, that stinks, but it is what it is, I suppose. Hopefully, I would love nothing more than our rotation in 2022 and beyond to include Ian Anderson and Mike Soroka.
Yeah, like, I mean, it would be nice.
I really want both of those guys back. Soroka, obviously a borderline like Cy Young candidate in 2019, and Anderson, just a good fucking pitcher. I'm going to get into ads real quick before we continue. Obviously, the sports show, our sports sponsor, it's where we do our gambling, mybookie.com. Got a lot of good NFL games this week. I was going to bet the Pat Mahomes rushing over. That'll be done by the time this show is aired. I think it's like 16 and a half yards.
That's it, really?
Yeah. And if teams don't blitz him, he runs a lot more.
He just uses it as a weapon to punish them for trying to sit back in the nickel.
Yep.
Which he should. I mean, that's the first half of the Bills game, Rams opening night. He didn't do it. He didn't fucking... They were giving it to him. They were running... They ran a nickel the entire time trying to force him...
Who, Allen?
Yeah, trying to force Josh Allen to pass and shit. And that's why I thought it was a good idea for them to do that. And then they stopped in the second half, and he... as soon as he saw a little daylight, he, that guy's going to get 7 to 15 yards on every run if you don't have a spy on him, so...
And Mahomes is the type of dude, so I think I read something, he ran for like 45 and 30-something yards against the Chargers the last times they played. But yeah, we're going to bet that at MyBookie, and if you use the promo code Drinking Bros, you can double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you just deposit $50, they'll give you a free $50 extra with the promo code Drinking Bros. Put in $500, they'll give you free $500. Put in $1,000, they'll give you a free $1,000, whatever, up to $1,000. Promo code Drinking Bros. A lot of good betting going on for the NFL, for college football. And, hey, maybe even sprinkle World Series winner in there. Doko Dan sprinkled the Phillies at our behest, at taking our advice.
I think it's, what was it, like 13 to 1 or something? I mean, 40 to 1? Yeah, I would put money on that for sure.
So, should be fun because the Phillies are pretty much all but guaranteed a playoff spot.
They would have to lose pretty much every, I mean, they're getting close to their magic number, actually.
Yeah, and they're on a 5-game win streak right now.
Yeah, but it was 5 games against like the fucking Nationals and Marlins.
Hey, man.
Although they did beat Alcantara, I think 2-1.
Hey, you know who isn't beating those teams?
Mets. The fucking Mets. The Mets suck so bad.
So you never know. But yeah, mybookie.com is the place to do your gambling. Next up, Ozzie Albies absolutely raking at AAA. I think he went like 5 for 5 the other night, including a walk-off homer.
Yeah.
He's really close to being back.
He's hitting 330 over 7 games. 333.
So he's looking good.
Yeah.
So that means, what do you do with Vaughn Grissom? Still hitting 268 over the last 2 weeks, 2 homers, 6 runs, 6 RBIs. Not playing every day. Playing close to every day.
Yeah, mostly, but they're giving him breaks because he's a kid. But, he's still, over the last 30 days, he's hitting 275.
Yeah.
With 3 bombs, 12 RBI, that's good production, especially out of the second base position. I'm happy with what I'm seeing from Ozzie. He needs to get back early next week to get back with the team and get in the rhythm again.
Yeah.
And shit. It's a good question though about what to do structurally with the lineup after that. I if it were up to me, I would put him at DH for a while. The same way they used Acuna DH early in the season and let him, you know, slow roll back.
Yeah.
Especially considering the nature of that injury. It was like a lateral fracture in his foot and shit.
Well, now the problem is, though, Acuna's still kind of gimpy, I think.
A little bit, yeah.
So do you keep Acuna at DH?
Well, has he been DHing?
Yeah, he DH'd on the game on the 13th against the Giants.
Yeah, I guess you got to fucking... you have to make that determination if you're going to honestly, the long-term solution to this, if they're not, if they're planning on re-signing Dansby Swanson, then Vaughn Grissom's got to go to the outfield.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to put him at this point. And by the way, that does, if he's a good athlete and if he's able to play left field well, then that helps the team. Like there are at that point, there are no more holes at all on this team.
Except certainly not in the lineup.
Maybe Jansen, you know, but
yeah.
There's no hole. Like the rotation is four deep, like a legit four deep rotation set for the playoffs. The bullpen's very flexible. There's a lot of arms out there. That left field position is really the one thing that's going on here that needs to be fixed.
Well, and the nice thing is too, and this is why first off, we I've taught this before, but we have a history of this. Riley was in left field in 2019 mm-hmm. when we had Donaldson. Had no problem putting Riley out there, and Grissom is much more limber, shall we say, than Austin
sure.
Riley.
He's a better athlete, I would say. Yeah. Probably.
I mean, you could quibble about hand eye.
Sure, but hand-eye doesn't matter out there as much as it does in the infield. And by the way, his hand-eye on the infield has been pretty goddamn good.
Right.
He's not making errors out there. He's a very slick fielder. And, you know, I think what will probably happen is they're going to start popping Grissom out in left field.
So, and then the thing is, too, so you've got Grossman, who mm-hmm. can play right, who is a professional sort of outfielder mm-hmm. type of guy. You know what I mean? Not the fielding skills of Adam Duvall, but
yeah.
he's not going to fuck anything up. It's fine out there. And then obviously you have maybe the best defensive center fielder in the game
mm-hmm.
to kind of bail everyone. I mean, do you remember the dudes playing fucking left and right when Andrew was in center? You know, like Ryan Klesko.
Ryan Gant. Well, no, Gant was gone by the time he went to St. Louis. Klesko was in...
Left,
and then I guess Jermaine Dye was in right for one or two years,
and he was an excellent defender.
I can't believe, like, why the fuck did they let him go?
I don't know.
That was so stupid. Holy shit! Their outfield would have been for a decade. Jermaine Dye and Andrew Jones, two of the best right-handed power hitters in the game at the time.
Yeah, I wonder. I'll look up who we traded Jermaine Dye for really quick. But I mean,
was it Hudson?
Because
he came over from Oakland.
It could be. No, I went to the White Sox before that, I thought, but I'll check that out. But what was I going to say? Oh, I mean, another dude, the other guy in left for a lot of Andrew Jones's like prime fielding years was Chipper.
We traded him for Keith Lockhart and Michael Tucker.
I want to fucking scream.
Jesus Christ, that's stupid.
That is insane. Michael Tucker, by the way.
And he was still on his rookie contract, so the three years after... that 98, which we went to the World Series and lost, by the way, could have used him there. 98, 99, and 2000, he made a combined $2.8 million for that whole three-year period.
And so he was with the Royals all through his rookie contract, I think.
Yeah.
So in 99, Dye hit 27 home runs with 119 RBIs. He drove in 119 Royals. God damn it. The next year, 2000... 33 home runs, 118 RBI, and then 26 home runs, 106 RBI, playing good defense the whole time. It looks like he was maybe hurt or something in 97 and 98, or maybe he was going up and down. I don't know. I'm not going to dig into it. He also, for the White Sox in 2006, finished fifth in MVP voting.
Yeah.
So that's
unbelievable.
Tight.
Like, we just gave him away for nothing.
Schuerholz is absolutely a Hall of Fame general manager, but man, he made some fucking crazy moves. Yep. Especially, I'll say this, Schuerholz from like 99 on, not that good.
Yeah.
Kind of started really selling everything to try to win now and not doing the best job at it, but whatever. So for me, what is your preferred lineup in terms of like 1 through 9?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if I put Rosario on the playoff roster, because we've seen a little bit of spark from him the last couple of weeks. So he's hitting 300 the last 15 days, 260 the last 30 days, but the slugging percentage is like 300.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's all singles. He's getting into counts where people groove him and he'll fucking slap a hit. But that's not like we can't have that fucking shit in the lineup.
Well,
that's,
what other left-handed bench bats do we have?
Cause Grossman. I mean,
Grossman's probably starting at this point.
Well, if you move Vaughn Grissom to left field, he's not. As a matter of fact, I don't think they even platoon that position at that point because Grissom doesn't have a whole lot of problem hitting right-handers.
Wait, so then who's in right?
Acuna.
Yeah, if we can play Acuna in right.
Mm, and the playoffs he's going to play. He'll suck it up.
So
you would think.
You would hope, but I mean...
Like Grissom's hitting 300 against right-handers. He's hitting 314 against lefties. So that you have a guy like that in the outfield with the numbers productions he's put up, I don't think you platoon him at all. I think it's, yeah, that's what I would do. It would be Grissom and Michael Harris and Acuna in the outfield.
I mean, my guess is they keep Rosario and Grossman on the playoff roster. Well, Grossman's on the playoff roster. That's beyond.
Yeah, for sure.
But Rosario, because Grossman's prefer him from the right side, sure. Switch hitting.
Yep.
Rosario, he'd be our lefty bat off the bench. And then you'd also have, you know, I mean, where do you feel it?
I mean, Contreras is going to be there, too. Ozuna, who knows?
I don't want Ozuna on the playoff roster. Yeah. I have no care to have him there. I don't know what the use of having him there is.
Yeah. I mean, he's a liability.
Yeah.
Not a fan of him as a human being. So,
do you still roll with Acuna, Swanson, Riley, Olson as the top four? When Albies is back?
There's been a lot of... well, Albies was hitting fifth, right?
I think so.
Well, maybe not this earlier this year. I guess I can look. But last year, when they had a more solidified lineup and weren't moving stuff around as much, I think he primarily hit fifth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably, right? I mean, that's definitely what you want. You want to have... hold on, let me see. When did this motherfucker
come? You think Acuna, Swanson, Riley, Olson, that's locked in 1-4?
Acuna, Swanson, Olson, Riley, or Riley, Olson. I think they flip them depending on the matchup. Then I think 5 is probably Albies, and I think 6 is probably Vaughn Grissom, and 7 is Darno. It depends. Yeah. Darno gets streaky, right? So when he's hitting, they usually move him to 5th or 6th.
Mm-hmm.
But when not, he's in 7, and then Michael Harris. And then we'll see with the rest, right?
So Grissom, I don't know.
Whomever plays, so let's see, Acuna, Swanson, Olson, Riley, Albies, and then this is a weird lineup.
Darno, maybe?
Yeah, Darno, probably.
At 6. So then 7, 8, 9, do you probably go Mike Harris 9?
I would, yeah.
Just keep him where he's been comfortable and raking.
Yeah, I mean, they've moved him around quite a bit lately. He's been farther, and there's been some speculation that he might move into the leadoff spot at some point, but I don't really think, just because you're fast doesn't mean you're a leadoff hitter.
No.
Right? He strikes out, which is fine, I guess, but he doesn't walk ever.
Yeah, his on-base friends ain't there yet.
No. So he's, like, that's a non-starter for me, but at 9, that's a pretty good look for him.
For now, obviously, like, why wouldn't you? And by the way, our 9-hitter most of last postseason, it's not an insult or anything. It was Dansby.
Yeah.
And yeah. He fucking crushed.
He's going to get down-ballot MVP votes this year. So,
right. Yeah, so I think 7-8, you probably slot in whomever, you know, Grossman and Grissom, essentially, or yeah. Contreras or whatever the fuck, some combination of that.
Yeah.
But I would like to see 1-5. I'm fine with Acuna, Swanson, Riley, Olson, Albies, and then Darno. And you can maybe flop Albies, Darno if you need to.
And honestly, you know, I'm not sure that if I'm not sure that Vaughn Grissom doesn't get some reps in right field as well. He's an athlete. He's a really good fucking baseball player.
Yeah.
And he's got a great arm. Like, he's got a better... One of the reasons a lot of people thought that he might come up earlier was because of how good he is at shortstop. He's got a fucking hose. And, you know, right field is technically a more difficult position to play, typically, than left field. But I don't think that Ronald Acuna is a great athlete. I don't think he's a great outfielder.
Frankly. I don't think he's...
Like, he doesn't pay enough attention.
I was going to say, I don't think he's instinctually a great outfielder.
Yeah.
He is certainly athletically a great outfielder.
Sure, and he makes great plays a lot, but I feel like he fucking beefs a lot of easy plays.
Yeah.
He's definitely, it's still definitely positive. Like, he's a great baseball player. He's a good outfielder. But I think you could throw Grissom out there and then, you know, then you got more flexibility in left. But, you know, if you do that, If you have to put Acuna in the DH spot, then you pretty much lose Contreras' bat, except for maybe once a series, twice a series, for a whole game, I mean, whenever he's catching.
Yeah. I don't know that you love
him big
in,
loss.
In the pinch hit role.
No, I don't think he's a good pinch hitter. I think he's better as a...
Seeing
a couple
getting
of
ABs,
bats. Yeah, that to me... And by the way, Ozuna's the same. Like, if you're not starting Ozuna, he should not be on the playoff roster.
Yeah,
because he cannot pinch hit. He fucking sucks at pinch hitting. I guess that's it. And, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah. We're only discussing, like, good problems.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing bad going on here. Except for, you know, I mean, I don't want Ozuna on the team. But aside from that, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's an interesting, it'll be an interesting situation. And then as far as, you know, I think the rotation's pretty much set at this point.
Yeah, I would say so.
Now that we know Soroka's not coming back.
Yep.
And,
you know, Anderson's out too, so
certainly Odorizzi's not going to be starting games.
I fucking hope not. Jesus Christ. But you know, he's going to be the first out of the pen, which is you know, he's done it before.
Yeah.
And he's good at it. It would have been nice to have another starter, I guess, just in case, but they've got plenty of arms. That's not really a problem.
Yeah, and we'll get more into what we want the playoff rotation to be later, probably in the playoff preview. Well, we'll probably know by then, but maybe in the week leading up to it.
Yeah. But, you know, I like this. Grissom has been in a bit of a slump, and he's hitting .275 for the past month.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
Even .268 over the past 2 weeks. And that's the slump is essentially...
It's mostly the 1-for-17 streak he's on right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the last six games, I think, he's not hit well. But, you know, he's a young kid. Who knows? I'm sure he'll figure it out.
And, you know, so the league was going to... This is just what happens, right?
Mm.
He comes up, hits the ball. They're like, can you hit my fastball? Whatever.
Mm.
He hits it. Now they're adjusting back.
Yeah.
Now he's got to adjust back.
Yeah, he's made an adjustment already. He had a bit of a slump towards the end of August, I believe. A little bit of one, and then bounced back pretty quickly. Same thing happened to Harris, by the way. He went like 1-for-12 or some shit.
Yeah.
And then they changed the way his hands worked, and then it's... been bulls on parade for a while, and then he started struggling with the low and end slider, especially, and made some adjustments there, and he's back to his old shit. You know, I mean, I think they've got a good squad over there. The bench coaches, especially, are exceptionally good. I mean, they've got some of the best bench coaches for me ever.
Oh yeah,
Kranitz necessarily, but. Not that he's bad. I just don't think, like, there's been some really good pitching coaches over the years. Having fucking Wash as your infield coach and your third base coach, that's a big deal. Having Walt Weiss out there as the fucking bench manager, a guy who's managed teams himself, they got a lot of talent on that bench.
Agreed. I love their coaches. Seitzer, great guy.
I'm not a huge fan of Snitker. I think, again, he's not very good at managing a bullpen. And I think that's been like the Achilles heel for the Braves for the last 30 fucking years.
Yeah. You know what? I just looked at this, by the way, because it's going to bring this up real quick. This has nothing to do with Schwarber. I didn't realize Schwarber is OBPing .311 for the year. He's hitting .213.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's like a good batter. You know what I mean? He's a good hitter. Not a guy.
Well, he's not been protected in the lineup for the past 2 months. I mean, it's just Castellanos behind him, but. Bryce Harper's been out. Gene Segura's been out.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense.
Fair. In more around the league news, both Pujols and Aaron Judge, three homers away from historic numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge, three away from 60, which, you know, well, how many people have hit 60 home runs in a season?
How many? Well, two, right?
Right, yeah.
People that weren't fucking juiced up
did
it twice. 60 and 61, and it's all, so he's played 139 games right now. He needs four home runs in the next 15 games, and he will have hit 61 in 154 games. I think that's significant.
Agreed.
But it's also like, how many games have the Yankees played? 87, 56. I think there's something to the fact that of doing it in your team's 154th game as well, which is only 9 games away.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry, it's 11 games away, yeah. So he's got 11 games technically to hit 61. And then I think he's unasterisk beats Ruth. And honestly, the as streaky as this guy is, he's probably going to hit fucking all four or five of these home runs over the course of like three games. This is how it works with him.
Yeah, 100%.
Are they going home? What's the...
Well, the Yankees' schedule is pretty cushy.
They're at the Brewers this week. Ugh.
That'll be tough, both well, in let's terms see of who the they, park and the pitchers.
Yeah, let's see who they catch, though. Hauser, Woodruff, and I don't know who Alexander is.
Yeah. They do get the Pirates at home right after that, which will be fun.
And the Red Sox, who are done at home.
Yeah.
Although the Red Sox might be, you know, keen on not allowing him to break records against them.
I would agree. I would think that they would that would be a priority.
But they all the last I mean, no matter what happens unless he gets fucking run over by a truck or some shit, he's getting to 62 because last four games are at Texas.
Yeah.
And that's basically like a home run derby field for especially for a guy like that. And Texas has bad pitching and nothing to win or lose.
Yep.
So that's
those fans will be there. A, it'll probably be half Yankees fans, and B, even the Rangers fans will be like, come on, I just want
to
see it.
It'd be pretty dope for them to do that September 22nd through 25th series against the Red Sox in Yankee Stadium. Be pretty nice, I think, to do it then.
Beat Ruth's record? And Maris's record? Yeah, that'd be dope.
Against the Red Sox, specifically.
That would be really funny. By the way, my brother texted me this earlier in the year, and I responded this way without really thinking or diving into the numbers. He said, what's a bigger advantage, steroids or Judge hitting in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I know, right? It's a good question.
So I said probably hitting in Yankee Stadium. However, I came across a stat on Twitter the other day. He is literally dead even home and road in homers. He has, I think, one more homer at home than on the road.
Yep. But in 13 more at-bats. So technically the rate is the same.
Yeah. So he's been doing it everywhere. It's not Judge has not just been taking advantage of the fucking bandbox.
So he's got. Hold on, I'm looking at the schedule now. They have 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 games remaining against the Red Sox and the Orioles. And Judge against the Red Sox and Orioles so far this year has 14 home runs. And about 110 at-bats.
All right.
So that looks good. Yeah, it's always exciting. I'm also keeping an eye on Pujols over there.
By the way, his last couple home runs, not all of them, but he's hit a couple like, I mean, these aren't just like erroneous.
Oh, no, he's crushing the ball, which, you know, he's a giant man.
Yeah, but he's crushing the ball too. Like in these are like game-tying, game-winning home runs. Like,
yeah.
These are important hits that he's hitting.
Yeah. It's they're is this a 5-game series? Holy shit. It's a doubleheader on Saturdays. Yes, there's a 5-game series here with the Reds. That should give him plenty of opportunities to hit home runs because the Reds suck.
Yeah.
It's too bad it's not and their ballpark, Great American Ballpark, because that place is a fucking joke too.
Yeah.
Then they go at San Diego and at LA. San Diego's a tough place to hit home runs. LA this time of year is not. Like, you can hit home runs there, but it's L.A., right?
So yeah.
Who knows what those games are going to look like. But they close out with, like, fucking 6 games against the Pirates.
Yep.
Which is, come on,
should
man.
Be okay.
You can't ask for anything better than
you
that.
You really
shit.
Can't. Like, that's just God giving Albert Pujols.
11 of the remaining games for him are against the Reds or the Pirates. So Jesus is really trying to make this happen. I told...
And by the way, the splits are gone.
Yeah.
He's hitting righties pretty fucking well, too. Well enough that you can justify starting him every day.
Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't, especially now. Because
they buried the Brewers.
Yeah, they haven't clinched yet, but there's...
No, it's over, though.
Like, it's... Let's see. They're up 8 games. Yeah, it's over.
Okay,
they would have to lose every game for the rest of the season, I think.
It's done. And now the Brewers, I mean... Which, by the way, this is kind of handy for us in our divisional race. The Brewers are on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm. They're 2 games behind the Padres.
So they right are now. Going to need to play their dicks off against the Mets in that series.
Yep.
So that's handy. But yeah, man, Pujols, it feels like it's kind of destiny at this point.
Yeah, I was talking to Andy Frisella, the first form. They've got a box there in St. Louis. And I'm like, all right, cool. If he gets to 699, I'm probably going to need to use that box. I'm going to try to go up there and watch that shit. There's very little chance that anybody that's alive right now will have another opportunity to see a guy hit his 700th home run. You know what I mean?
Well, I kind of disagree. I kind of think there's going to be at least a couple more dudes doing it. I mean, there's just so many goddamn home runs.
There's a lot, yeah, but I mean, 700's a lot. You got to stay healthy that whole time. Look at, like,
well, Albert disagrees.
Yeah, well, no, he's 7,000 years old. That dude's made out of something else. But, you know, for a long time, I thought Trout would be a 700 home run guy. I doubt he will. He'll probably be mid 500s. He's at 350 now, I think.
Yeah, but
he's not slowing down home run wise. As a matter of fact, if he's on a 60 home run pace this year as well, like he was last year before he got hurt. You know what I mean?
He missed what, like a month, and he's still like seventh in the league in homers.
He's got like 34 home runs or some shit like that. But again, you got to stay healthy. You know what I mean? And I don't think he will. You know, maybe these.
I'm trying to look at like the second page here because obviously the only other active dude with 500 or more right now is fucking Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. I don't think he'll come back next year. He looks like he's pretty much done with baseball.
No, and Nelly Cruz has 459. He's not doing it. Not getting anywhere close to that.
The thing is, you got to look at guys who are in their mid 20s who already have like close to 200 home runs. You know what I mean? Or over 200.
Yeah.
It's not many guys, first. And two, it's a lot of presumption to think that they're going to continue the pace and stay healthy that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't see it much.
Even Aaron Judge.
But he's like 31 years old.
Already 30 years old, yeah. So it's tough. I'm trying to say, I can't do this active shit. I don't know where to hit the active thing.
If you're on Baseball Reference, active ones are in bold. That helps.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. I don't know if they have a segment for active. I think it just, yeah.
Fangraphs, you just have to, like, set it.
I see.
Yeah, so there's Pujols, you got Cruz, whatever. Yeah, Stanton.
Like, Cody Bellinger, right, is on, he's had a couple of rough years. He's still only 26, but he's only got 150 home runs.
Yeah, he's not doing it. Yeah, so Trout is 30. He's got 345 home runs. And then it gets pretty grim after that. I mean, you've got like Justin Upton here with 325.
Yeah, but he's almost done too.
Yeah, he's cooked. Let me find like, so you've got Harper, 29, 284. So he's what, a year younger than Trout and a full like 80 home runs behind him or something?
Yeah,
like
I
that?
Mean, Harper, he'll be in the high fours, low fives probably. But again, he's not getting anywhere. No, none of these people are getting anywhere close to 700. And I'm thinking about even the young guys who are hitting a bunch of home runs right now, like Rodriguez from Seattle, rookie over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically, Michael Harris is on a 31 home run pace, right, for a full season. But even then, you got to keep that shit up. Poole started his career out with 10 years of that shit.
Yeah.
10 straight years of 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. Like, it just doesn't. Nobody's that consistent anymore.
There isn't a 600 home run guy that I see right now, like, who is anywhere close. Like, whoever does it next is a rookie or about to come up.
Not unless Trout just stays healthy for the next 8 years.
Yes.
Like, if he's healthy and he's hitting 40-45 for the next 8 years, he's got a shot. But otherwise,
I mean, even Aaron Judge, he only has 215 career home runs.
I mean, he's 31.
Right.
Now, Arenado is 31. He's got 298.
Yeah.
He's got an outside shot at 500, but definitely not 6 or 7.
I think Stanton's a good bet for 500.
Probably, yeah.
He's 32. He has 373 home runs.
I think Goldschmidt's got an outside shot, too. Like, he's just a big lumbering first baseman, but he hasn't had a whole lot of injuries and shit.
No, and he can play DH.
Yeah, he can DH now, so I think he might have a shot.
If he can play for, like, 8 more years.
Yeah.
Get to 42, I think he could do it. But, yeah, this Pujols shit, it is incredible. I mean, it's a real bummer that COVID basically stopped him from passing Ruth.
Yeah, because he definitely would have.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? But I'm certainly gonna keep an eye on that shit. It seems like, I was talking to my barber this morning, actually. He's an Indians fan, and you know, they're clinging to a fucking an ever an increasingly smaller lead.
The White Sox kind of picked it up a little bit.
Well, it's like when Tony La Russa fucked off, the team started playing well. May be, I don't know who their interim manager or whomever the fuck it is, but maybe just stick with that and not a 76-year-old guy who gets DUIs. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Literally.
But the American League race is actually pretty interesting. You know, you've got the division leaders, you got the Yankees, you got Houston, you got Cleveland. The wild card race is extremely close still for this late in the season. So the Mariners and Blue Jays are tied at the top. They're half game ahead of the Rays. And then the Orioles are only 4.5 games back of the Rays. It is feasible
that your Baltimore Orioles,
that the goddamn Orioles can make the playoffs. Like, one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. Although, when they brought some of those young guys up, Rutschman and who's the other one?
They got Cedric Mullins.
Well, Cedric Mullins is good, but yeah, but there was another young guy that they brought up. Can't remember his name, but, they've got a lot of young talent on there, but you don't honestly, I don't know how long their odds were to make the playoffs this year, but I wouldn't have taken it. Even if it was 1,000 to 1, I wouldn't have taken it.
No, I would have been like, I don't feel like jacking off $50.
Yeah.
At all.
Vlad Jr. hit his 100th. I mean, he's a possibility for 600, to be honest. But he's got to manage his weight.
Yeah.
Because he just hit number 100. He's 23, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 23.
Okay. That's probably your best bet for 600.
Yeah, and this is his age 23 season too. So his birthday's in March. So he'll be 24 next year, and by then he'll probably have 105 or something like that. So he's well on his way.
I'll give you another one we didn't think about. Juan Soto.
I don't know.
He's
about
23
Soto.
Years old. He has 122 home runs.
500, sure, but not 7. Like, none of these, I don't see anybody on this board. Like, I think Austin Riley will probably end up hitting 500 home runs. There's like 5 or 6 guys in the league right now that are young.
Yeah.
And a couple of the older guys that are getting close that I think have a pretty decent shot, but I don't know.
I mean,
not 6 or 7. There's nobody even close to that so far as I can tell.
It sucks for Soto as much as COVID hurt Pujols for, passing Ruth or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if Pujols got one of his first 10 years wiped off the board.
Yeah, no shit.
And that's what happened to Soto.
Yep.
So that fucking sucks for him. I mean, he hit 13 home runs in 47 games because he was hurt to start that year.
Yeah, he was on fucking fire, though. Yeah.
29 last year. He should hit 30 this year, or close to it. So, I mean, he's on a good pace. And he's had a bad year, and he still has 24 home runs.
So. Michael Harris, by the way, 27th in wins above replacement.
Let's go. And, love that kid.
A little over half a season.
That is all I have got for today.
Let's get out of here.
Sleep.